And this time on Culture File, is it rude to refer to languages as dead when they might simply be taking a very long nap? The process of gently rousing almost lost languages is at the heart of Old English specialist Alice Jorgensen's work in the School of English at TCD. Culture File's Eleanor Flegg brought her microphone and went to meet Professor Jorgensen and capture the sound of the living dead.
My name is Alice Jorgensen. I'm a lecturer in English at Trinity College Dublin. I've often found with my students that they're particularly fascinated by hearing me try to read aloud the text that I teach them, so that they get this kind of echo of a living language rather than simply a set of exercises on a page. I think it's also particularly valuable because many of these languages, although they are no longer heard, were languages that existed in a very strongly oral culture. So the literatures that we're studying, in fact, were designed to be heard. The parts of it that's been written down is probably a very small amount of what was originally there. And they have all this sound patterning, patterns in Old English of alliteration, patterns of weight of different syllables are also important to poetic structure. So it's in fact very important to think about those sounds and the effects that they produced if we want to study the texts and resurrect some voices that have fallen silent. I'm going to read a very short poem from the Exeter Book of Old English Poetry, which was copied in the 960s or 970s. So this is a poem in a woman's voice talking possibly, though it's a very enigmatic poem, about her lover who is an enemy of her people and her son who is referred to as a whelp who is being taken away to the woods. Laudomis minum swelchehim mon lark yifa. Weleth hi hinna Arthur John, ye feon thread gumeth, unye likesus. It is to my people as if someone would give them a gift. They will consume him if he comes into their troop. It is different with us. Wolf is on one island, I on another. That island is secure, surrounded by fen. There are bloodthirsty men on the island. They will consume him if he comes into their troop. It is different with us. I pursued in my hopes the far journeys of Wolf, when it was rainy weather, and I sat sorrowful. Then the battle-bold one laid his arms around me. There was joy to me in that, yet it was also hateful to me. Wolf, my hopes of you have made me sick. Your rare visits, a mourning mind, and this is not at all from lack of food. Do you hear me, Erdwaka? The wolf bears our wretched whelp to the woods. That may easily be separated, which was never bound, the riddle of us two together. It's a very puzzling poem, and one of the things about it, I mean, it's known as Wolf and Erdwaka, but that's just because those names appear in the poem. One of the things about it is that the emotions communicate themselves so strongly, and yet what the story actually is very greatly debated. So there is an interpretation, perhaps a rather comical one, not very widely held, is that they are actually dogs and that the baby is referred to as a whelp because it is a whelp. So that kind of riddling, strange interpretation could be supported from that point of view. But it seems so passionate and so recognisable, even though we don't know what the story is.
Wolf, mean wolf, when a mean thina selka you did done, thina seld kumas, murnende mod, nalus metalista. Ye hear us to Erdwaka, unkerne ermne whelp bireth wolf to wuda.
For me, one of the things that awakened my fascination with Old English was hearing Old English read aloud, and that was by my father, who had done a degree in English and history at the University of East Anglia, and Old English was one of the things he studied. So my parents had a certain amount of material around, and my dad would occasionally read it aloud, which is something he did very well. So the magic of the sound of it was something that I got to before actually ever trying to read it.
How do we know what dead languages sound like?
in a way, we don't know. I mean, I'm very aware that when I read a poem like this, I'm still reading it in a way with my own accent. But we can work things out to a surprising degree, partly because we have a lot of comparative evidence from other languages. And since the 19th century in particular, scholars have painstakingly worked out the processes by which sounds change in languages. And that means that you can project backwards. And it also means that you can take the evidence of how things were spelt and how they are spelt in various different languages and compare them. A thing about English specifically is that we're very used to a situation in which English spelling is not a particularly good guide to English pronunciation, but that is actually a result very largely of changes that have happened, I was going to say quite recently, but in the last 500 years. But that is quite recent when you work on Old English. So it's a complex, you look at the way things are written, you look at the way things change, you deduce the rules by which languages have developed from each other and compare with each other. And through that, you can reconstruct a system of sounds operating in the language. And then you can do your best to read those sounds aloud. But it's always going to be a little approximate. I can't actually go and listen to a real Anglo-Saxon and get the precise flavour of how they pronounce the vowel eh. You know, was it eh? Was it eh? There's some subtle differences that we can't get back to.
I'm noticing that you don't use the phrase dead languages.
I'm not sure languages die. Interest in languages can die. This is a language that for me is, although it's not a language anybody speaks anymore routinely, it's still got things to say to me, things that I find very deeply moving or insightful or just curious and worth puzzling out. Also, I suppose dead language tends to be used in a dismissive and derogatory way. I want to show people that what we're doing is worth it, can open doors in the imagination,
thou art fallen,
and that it's not just some sort of inert and crumbling dusty thing.
New mont ek heima, new evidur, mjord with manen, fear bonedan.
Alice Jorgensen there speaking the unspoken, and you also heard the voices of Tanaya Jorgensen, Old Norse specialist, and Jürgen Uhlig, specialist in early Irish.